welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 290 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good chirpy fella, pal, Sean Orford. How are you doing, John?
When you said 290, it sounded like Joe 90.
Joe 90, 290.
Joe 90. Wasn't he a spaceman or a...
I think, yeah, little...
A superhero or something.
He's kind of a character I'm aware of, but I couldn't draw a picture of him or anything.
It sounded like Joe 90 when you said
How you doing? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm all Christmased out.
Me too, man. Yeah, we're in the thick of it, aren't we? Yeah, we're talking about laughter today rather than Christmas, but hopefully your Christmases have been full or are full of laughter.
And so they should be.
And not too much depression and misery.
Yeah.
I'm sure they won't be.
Yeah. Mine is a doozy. It's great.
Yeah, so, good fun, isn't it, man? Yeah. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Any new listeners, take a look. Stick your email address in the box and we'll send you some free meditation files and other resources. And yeah, you get a discount code for the book Live in the Present as well. But yeah, good Christmas, Sean, so far.
Yeah, brilliant. Love it.
Good routine,
yeah. Yeah, family, friends, food.
Isn't it lovely? Yeah,
some nice wine,
bit of
fire.
Yeah, what's your tipple of choice?
I like a nice Shiraz.
Ooh.
Yeah. Discovered quite a pleasant French Côte d'Aron white.
Oh, wow.
Which is very pleasant. So,
Port's my drink of choice at Christmas. Right. I'll just love port for some.
Yeah, you have to have some port at Christmas. Don't you?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be Christmas without the port.
Ah, delightful. Even a bit of sherry as well, maybe.
Yeah. Ah. So, do you go with the cheese with that, or do you go for the Madeira cake, or what do you?
Bit of cheese usually.
Yeah.
Yeah, just nibbles.
Yeah.
All sorts of nibbles, nuts, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Very good.
But we're talking about laughter.
Yeah.
Was it a client of yours kind of thought we should do one on?
A client said to me, God, the world's so bloody miserable at the moment. You know, everybody is so miserable. Because, I mean, there's been the austerity thing, there's the Brexit thing, and with the work that I do in Qatar, they've had some issues there, where they've had to kind of make people redundant. And there's all kinds of stuff going on.
Yep.
And so many people are living in a kind of... You know, and one of the things that people say to me is, well, it couldn't get any worse. And I think, don't say that.
Because yeah,
it could.
It's probably could. It's
that thing for me about we have a choice. What you feed grows, what you starve dies. We can either focus on the misery and be negative and really get into that, or we can focus on the positive. And the positive usually comes in form of making yourself laugh.
Mm. Yep.
So it's like, what is it that makes you feel happy and funny?
Yeah, and we'll talk a bit about the actual science of laughter as well, as a form of therapy, almost.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely, as a
laughter form of therapy. Workshops are real.
I mean, when was the last time you had a good old belly laugh, or when did you cry with laughter?
Yesterday?
Right, okay.
I mean, to me, there are so many funny things that are going on around.
You were just watching the news, and you were like...
I love it when people say things, because people's minds aren't connected to their mouths. I can remember this lady saying to me, she's got problems with her husband, and it's become impudent. And I'm thinking, impudent? What do you mean? And he's obviously become impotent, but it's that kind of thing. And I have problems not wetting myself laughing sometimes.
I was trying to think when I last, like, properly tears of joy stuff, and it's been a while, I think, but I was watching, excuse me, Vic and Bob, Big Night Out,
yeah,
which I'd known has been on, and I grew up watching Shooting Stars and all that stuff, the Fast Show, that's that kind of humour is right up my street, but I hadn't seen it, and then I caught the last 10 minutes of one. I put it on for 10 minutes, and within 5 minutes, I was literally crying with laughter, because that humour that Reeves and Mortimer have just is right up my street. And people have different tastes in humour, don't they? And different things make them laugh. But for me, that was perfect.
There's the two guys that are doing the reenactment of Morecambe and Wise.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, and that is quite It's very, the humour is very peculiar to that time.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, hopefully that bit that'll be on at some point over this Christmas. They usually put on a bit of Morecambe and Wise on, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. And it is good. It's always good, clean humour.
Yeah, and it's that old-fashioned... It shouldn't be old-fashioned, really. Maybe it's not. Maybe of kind of performing in front of a crowd, because it's basically like a theatre production for that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So there would be a crowd in the room and they're on stage performing for them whilst the cameras were rolling.
The rudest joke that they ever got as far as was two men on deck chairs, and one says to the other, "It's nice out today, isn't it?" And that was supposed to be rude. Everybody goes, chocolate.
Things have changed a bit now.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of blog posts I'm going to link to which kind of talk a bit more about the psychology behind laughter and the benefits that you get beyond just kind of laughing and like maybe your troubles drifting away for a brief moment, which are really fascinating, actually.
Yeah.
So do you ever prescribe laughter?
I was online earlier on today to Qatar, and I'm working with a group of people, and my thing to them is, what have you done for yourself this week that was fun? You know, and I do this a lot with groups. So easy to focus on the negative. You know, what's going on that's good? What's funny? What's, you know?
Yeah.
And getting people to really, really look at it, because we know, with all the, both the physiology and the psychology, that when you're miserable, you have low immunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're more likely to get infections, all the stress hormones build up, you know, all that. It's like really, really difficult. Whereas when you get into the funny world and you can start to laugh and do things, then it does change the way your body works, changes the way your brain works. So you can take people's bloods before they go into a comedy show and take them afterwards, and you can see how the bad hormones have come down and the positive hormones come up.
Yeah. So what kind of responses did you get to your question?
The funny thing is, when I say to people, okay, come on, tell me something good, what's been going on? You know, usually they laugh. Because they're thinking, I can't think of anything.
Oh, yeah. Blimey. Yeah.
And then they have to kind of dig into it to find stuff. Yeah. But if I do it long enough over a series of weeks, they start to change the way, because they know I'm going to do it. So they're starting to focus on what's going on around them. So they've got more kind of responses.
Yeah.
Whereas if I was to say to them, okay, tell me the negative things that have happened to you, I won't be able to shut them up. They could be going, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Mm.
It's that focus. So what have we got? We know immunity changes, it lowers stress hormones, loads and loads of evidence, as with the mindfulness, about how you can deal with pain, and it decreases the experience of pain.
Yeah.
Because pain comes in two bits. There's the primary pain, which is the nervous response. The secondary pain is our emotional response to the primary pain.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and if you can let it go, it makes it so much easier, relaxes your muscles, you know, heart disease comes down because blood pressure comes down, there's all that kind of stuff.
Beautiful, man. This is science, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's all in there. So, I mean, you've made a list here of stuff, haven't you? So, like,
well, they were the physical health benefits, and like the heart disease ones, it's fascinating to me because, when you're laughing, you're kind of increasing the blood flow and blood vessels are doing their thing.
Yeah.
So you get a stronger heart, literally, from...
Yeah. And laughing. When people go red in the face because they're laughing, it's because all their vascular system has just opened up.
Yep.
So the blood is flowing to the face. And that's an important thing, is realising that laughter gets an internalised thing very often, but in a shared sense... The majority of our communication isn't in the words, it's in what we see. Mm. And smiling and laughing is a visual communication.
Yeah.
Yeah. And within a group of people, or a group of chimpanzees, or a group of bonobos or orangutans, that sense of laughing and smiling is there. You know, we don't think of it like this, but other animals laugh as well. There's even evidence that rats laugh. And if you tickle a rat will laugh. Dogs do it, and dolphins do it. Have you ever heard dolphins laugh and that kind of ca 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 ca?
I've heard the noise they make, but I didn't realise it was like a laughter
sound.
Yeah. joy, expression of joy.
And lots of animals do actually laugh, and many of them do smile, but we're not clued up to the visual cues.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fascinating area of research, eh?
Yeah. Need to do more of it.
We'll come on to the mental and the social benefits of laughter, but how come so many people that are paid or make a living from making people laugh are so
miserable?
Robin Williams, commit suicide. There's loads of stories about similar comedians, like once the lights are off and the stage is away from them,
this isn't always the case, but if you think about it like this, when you look at bipolar disorders, you have a manic phase, which is above the kind of normal line, and then you've got a depressed phase, which is below the normal line. Yeah, now, people are using medications to adjust what's above and what's below. But if you've got someone who is very down, when they go on stage, they can assume a persona, which is like taking a drug. So they go way above and they become hyper and hyperactive and they do all kinds of stuff that they would never ever do off the stage. And as soon as they come off the stage, they go into that kind of withdrawal. It takes them into a dark place. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, if you think about it, why would any individual need to get on a stage in front of thousands of people and to get them to laugh and all that kind of stuff? And very often the performer, it's the same with musicians, that the performer needs other people to tell them that they're all right.
Yeah.
So if there's 4,000 or 40,000 people going, okay, Madonna, you're fine, don't worry, you're great, yeah, does that make the performer feel good?
Mm.
Yeah. And very often people that are into performing or acting, if they can't get on a stage and do it, they go into depression.
Right.
Because they're not getting that recognition.
Wow.
Yeah. So the payoff for us is we might go and see a comedy show and be highly entertained, but the payoff for the performer might be that they need us to tell them that they're all right.
And with stand-up comedians, I mean, if you're a musician and you're in a band, there's so much noise from the music.
Mm.
That's all you can hear. But with a comedian, if you tell a joke and it doesn't quite hit the right note, there's silence in the room, isn't there?
Yeah.
And so you're getting judged every 10-15 seconds. I think it's actually the trickiest form of performance there is.
Yeah, yeah. And especially when there's one of you and thousands of them, you're pretty outnumbered.
Yeah. Or someone's maybe there's someone that's had a drink too many or something and you've got to deal with a heckler or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know how those guys and girls do it. Very impressive.
Yeah.
In terms of the mental health benefits of laughter, the obvious one is that it adds a bit of joy and zest to your life. It puts spring in your step.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the issue about letting go of all the tensions and the anxieties. And that's the thing, isn't it? But when you can be quite tense, but you're in a situation maybe with friends and you have one of those laughing sessions. And all the tension does come out of your body. It comes out of your back and your legs and clean it. And you do feel very different with it. And so, like, the stress, the mood, everything's coming up. And if you've had a good, funny time and you're feeling good, then you are more resilient. You're going to go out into the world, hey, come on, and take it on. Whereas if you're feeling down and...
What's the equation that Woody Allen, I think, used for comedy? Comedy equals tragedy plus time, is what he says. A lot of comedy is based on the misfortune
of others.
Of others,
yeah.
Isn't it? Charlie Chaplin stuff or Laurel and Hardy, silent era movies, people falling over or something.
Yeah.
It's kind of laughing, funny, isn't it?
Slapstick
stuff like Harpo Marx. I'm a massive Marx Brothers fan.
Yeah.
I need to watch a bit of that actually over Christmas and start to introduce my lads to the Marx Brothers because Harpo is the meat. He can't talk.
Yeah.
All he can communicate by is physicality and maybe a bit of whistling or some kind of prop that he's got stuffed in his trench coat. Just absolutely incredible watching those guys do their thing.
Yeah. Very good. Really, really good.
But
really,
really good. Groucho, the main of the Marx Brothers, the mustache guy, offset, very serious character.
But that's what I mean. It's like you, and it's quite weird when you. I've actually worked with some comedians as clients, And when those people are on the stage, they are so different to when they're off the stage.
Yeah.
That is so powerful, you know. One of the things about, I mean, obviously the social benefits of laughter is that it's that shared group experience.
Yeah.
But that can get into quite dark humour because it is, I've said it before, it's like when I was working with the train drivers, and one of the jokes would be, what do you want for Christmas? I'll have anything, but don't buy me a jumper, because they had so many people jumping under the trains, you know? And that kind of black humour, which if you're not in the game, is like, oh, that's so insensitive.
Yeah.
But when you're in it, how do you cope with it? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like my humour and comedy pretty much as dark as it comes in a lot of sets. So, yeah, if there's been something that's been banned on Channel 4 for being...
you want to watch it.
I want to watch it. So there was a show called Brass Eye in the late 90s by Chris Morris, and even Steve Coogan, I think, played a little bit of a role, that kind of era of comedians.
Yeah.
And they pushed the boundaries big time, and they did it was the most complained about TV show of all time. And it was a paedophile special.
Oh, well.
Half an hour show about child sex offence. And I've got to be careful how I say this, but it's the funniest half hour of TV I've ever seen.
It's incredible.
But it wasn't taken, it got obviously slated in the press and it was all over the radio. You've got to pull this, don't ever, burn it, don't let people watch it. But it wasn't taking the mickey out of kids that have been, you know, molested, or even it was taking the mickey out of the media for how they report on it, on this, on the issue, and that was lost in translation a little bit. But if you can bear to watch it, I think I still watch it every now and again. I think that's
very funny,
extremely, yeah. But very, you know, if you're sensitive to that kind of thing at all, just watch. You'll be, take care.
Yeah, yeah.
But they did all sorts. They took the mickey. They involved some quite high profile celebs in the show, and kind of got them to say things that weren't unbelievable, like Noel Edmonds and Gary Lineker are on there saying stuff. But hey, you know, comedy can, so for some people, it can, what makes someone laugh can have huge offence, cause huge offence to other people, can't it?
So. Yeah, but laughing at other people's misfortunes is one of the cores of humour. you know. And it is. I can remember working on a building site as a teenager, and one of the painters had been in, there was a chemical toilet, and he'd poured the turps, the white spirit, down into the loo thing, and one of the guys went in, and he was smoking a pipe, and he'd lit his pipe with the match, and he sat on the loo, and he threw the match into the loo, and it went gaboomph. It didn't quite blow his bum halfway up his back, but it certainly singed a few hairs, you know. And rather than people being sensitive, everyone is rolling around, wetting themselves laughing at this guy's misfortune. You know?
It's funny how different things in different cultures make people laugh. Like when you're in a pub or a bar in the UK, I know this is from my younger days, if someone behind the bar drops a glass, or anyone,
everybody
in the bar,
cheers.
Everyone goes, "Way!"
Yeah.
Now, a friend of mine was in New York on his own working over there, and he was in a bar enjoying a drink with some American colleagues, and someone behind the bar dropped a glass and it smashed everywhere, and he was the only person in the whole place. He went, "Way!" And then realised that he was the only one, because everyone else was like, "Oh, are you okay? Are you okay?" And obviously in the UK, we laugh at that kind of thing, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah, like canteens if someone drops a plate. That,
yeah. So yeah, laughter can vary by like geography as well, can't it? What's funny in one part of the world?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure when you were in Qatar, there were certain things that you wouldn't joke about.
Oh yeah, I mean, you do, because there are 85 different nationalities. The chances are, every time you open your mouth, you're going to offend somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that can be very, very difficult. And being sensitive to different cultures, religions, ethnicities, all that kind of stuff. But a huge learning experience.
Yeah.
Huge learning.
Did we go through those social benefits there? I can't remember. In terms
Yeah, we're all in
it's
there.
It's all good stuff.
But it's the issue of humour brings us together. Mm. That's the thing. And it's fun. And I guess one of the things about humour about other people is very often that we've got our group, which is us, and the people that are in our group are them. So they become the target of the humour. You know. And all the things here about there was an Englishman, an Irishman, a Scotsman. I mean, that kind of stuff. They were always those kind of jokes.
Yeah.
And depending on which ethnicity you came from was whoever came out on top.
Would be the butt of the jokes would be the...
Yeah.
It was, well, and as an English person, it was usually the Irish that got the rough end, but
the thing was that the way that those jokes were set up was that Scots people were always described as being mean, Irish people as being stupid, and Welsh people as being thieves. That was the basic, and all the Brits would be, you know, or the English would be, you know, hey, you know, it's us, and all that kind of stuff. But when you're in those other, if you are in Wales and the same joke is told, then it won't be the Welsh person who's the butt of the joke, it'll be the other.
Yeah, I've been to a couple of Wales v Scotland Six Nation rugby games, and I've been in pubs, and when I've kind of been shrinking down a little bit, like not letting anyone know that I'm English, laughing a lot, but laughing along the jokes about the English, like, because they were just it's all reasonably good humour,
just start speaking with the Welsh accent.
What's your resource?
Well, I've got two resources. One is a Wikipedia page, which I must donate some money to, because Wikipedia is a good service.
Yeah.
They do deserve supporting. But it actually shows quite a lot about all these different animals laughing and the facial expressions.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's the most amazing body language, especially in primates, if you take some time to be with it. It is quite entertaining. Mm. The other thing is, I've got a challenge for everybody. Right.
Okay.
And it's tell us a joke. You know, the worst, the better. Send us a joke. Actually, send one in. They can be really, really bad. It can be like a motto out of a cracker. And the worst one I've heard this year is, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
What flavour of crisps would an airline pilot be? What would it be his favourite? What flavour would it be?
Go on, I don't know. I give up.
Plain.
And
that's so bad it's good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let's put a bit of energy into this. So come on, everyone that's listening to this, I want you to come up with a joke. Sillier the better.
Come up with a joke yourself, or send one that they found a favourite of theirs.
Yeah, could be.
Wow. Okay.
And
Tim Vine, isn't he? He's the comedian, Jeremy Vine's brother. He's kind of quite often wins the award for best like one-liner joke of the year.
All right.
And I can't remember any off the top of my head, and I should have researched them, but very clever with words.
Yeah, yeah. But there are some jokes that are really bad, and they're so bad they're good, and I like that.
Am I allowed to start to? Well, William, he's quite good at remembering little jokes, and he tells me them with a big grin on his face, and it's cool, man. Yeah.
That's good. So come on. Listeners, we want some jokes in here.
Send us them, Facebook, Twitter. Yeah. Send us an email.
And it could be, like I say, a motto out of a cracker, you know.
Actually, I was going to say, Christmas Day jokes on them crackers, varying.
They are grim.
They're really
poor. But they're so grim, they're good.
Yeah, you've got your little rubbishy paper hat on.
Yeah.
You've just got a laugh, haven't you?
Yeah.
Brilliant. I'm going to link to Vic and Bob's Big Night Out. The series is all on, well, first four are on iPlayer at the moment, so have a look at those. And if that's your kind of humour, watch it, because it's just cracks me right up. Very good.
Yeah.
Right, Sean, we'll see you. I'll see you in 2019.
Yeah, it'll be the New Year's episode.
Big year, high five. Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. There you go.
Cool. Have fun, everyone.
Cheers. Take care.
See ya.
Bye.